And just before these two verses of 40 and 41, Jesus had just breathed his last breath. He kind of, it is finished, and he had died on the cross. And the first response was by a Roman centurion who exclaimed, "Surely this was the Son of God." And that happened in verse 39. And then Mark turns his narrative to these women, these three women, and offers two verses about them. So I'm going to try to make an entire sermon on two verses. Here we go. This is a concise piece of scripture, and like many others, you're going to find that it shines and reveals something great about the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We're going to learn something about the crucifixion. But despite the brevity of this passage, these women, as witnesses at the cross, are very important and very worth discussing. In fact, each gospel mentions the women followers at the cross in some way. Matthew is the closest account to Mark. He writes that three women were standing at a distance to watch the crucifixion, almost the exact same report that Mark had. Luke talks about women following him to the cross and Jesus speaking to them, but he also writes that women watched at a distance as well. John's account has three women at the foot of the cross and Jesus speaking to, as Pastor Hannah pointed out last week, the beloved disciple with the women. One peculiar note about the presence of the women followers at the cross is the kind of generalized absence of the male followers and disciples. And perhaps this is because they didn't want to be caught in the blast radius, so to speak, of the crucifixion. If they were associated with Jesus and in close proximity, something could have happened to them as well. So they already fled. They were mostly absent at the scene. But the women were pulled to the scene as witnesses to the cross. Now, if the women weren't present, it's uncertain who of Jesus' followers would have actually witnessed his death. It might have been documented by Rome, but not by the followers of Christ. So the women's presence maintains the crucifixion as an account of Christian history. And so it's a graphic and emotional scene that they were there to watch. And all of the unmentioned but fully imagined torture of the cross, these women saw it. And I wonder why. Why didn't they flee and why didn't they stay home? Why were they there? Well, Mark mentions that these women were followers of Jesus. They were a part of his ministry. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and Salome. Who exactly all these women are is kind of unclear. Scholars search for clues in other parts of Scripture to uncover their identities. Mary Magdalene may be the most easy to identify. She was from a town called Magdala, from where she receives her title. She is known to have had all those demons cast out of her by Jesus prior to this. The second Mary mentioned can only be affirmed as a supporter and follower of Jesus, but not much else can confidently be said about who she is. Identifying her by the mother of James and Joseph may have been familiar to early readers of Mark. So if somebody early on was reading this account, they might recognize those names and know that it was their mother who was there and present. And finally, Salome. Thanks to the help of Matthew's gospel, this might be the first name of the mother of James and John, two of Jesus' closest disciples. Regardless of their exact identity, these women were followers and supporters of Jesus and his ministry. They were familiar faces to those who were familiar with Jesus. Mark says that they used to follow Jesus and provided for him while he was in Galilee. In fact, Luke 8 mentions that Mary Magdalene, a woman named Joanna, and another named Susanna, and many others provided for Jesus. So it may be that these women and many more like them were the financial engine behind Jesus' ministry, in addition to being devout disciples. So again, why were they there? Why didn't they flee and run away? Maybe it's because they were fully bought in to Jesus' ministry. They found healing. They believed what Jesus had to say. They gave of their resources. They've put all of their eggs in this basket, so to speak. And now this person with whom they fully bought into hangs from a cross, slowly dying. It feels like they're watching and just waiting for the joke to be over, waiting for Jesus to climb down and get back to performing miracles again like they did or that Jesus had done to them. They know that this should and could happen at any moment, but that moment doesn't happen yet. In Mark, the same women who witnessed the cross from the distance arrive at the tomb Sunday morning. From the days of his ministry to the dying moments and to the very resurrection, these women provided a line of continuity through the whole of Jesus' life. They were powerfully faithful. So I'd like to ask your permission to use my spiritual imagination for a moment. So my wife Carrie has these real sharp instincts and intuition. I'm much more pragmatic and calculated in my approach. When she and I use those gifts in tandem and at the right moment, we tend to make better decisions. But when my pragmatism creeps into situations where we need her intuition or vice versa, we tend to struggle more with decision making. I don't at all intend to assign gifts to any specific gender, but maybe, just maybe, the women were at the cross on Friday because it was also critical for their role the following Sunday morning. Because had someone like pragmatic Matt showed up to the empty tomb, I would have jumped into problem-solving mode, maybe even attacking and threatening the angel to give me the answers that I demanded. What was needed on Sunday morning was less problem-solving and more faith. What they had was a presence at the cross because of a faith born of discipleship, a faith born of the gifts that was given to them by their Creator. Now, I believe the women who responded Sunday did so based on what they saw on Friday, but I don't want to get to Sunday too quickly, so back to the cross on Friday. Mary, Salome, and Mary. These two verses which acknowledge them in Mark, and the 2-4 verses which acknowledge them and the other women in Matthew, Luke, and John, they shine light on a life-changing nature of the gospel. Their witness at the cross all those years ago reaches now into our present living. First of all, because these women are models for the arc of our lives. They were changed in an encounter with Jesus. They grew and invested their lives as followers, and they suffered through uncertainty. And then in faith, they continued seeking and finding afterward. The pattern of their lives are a model for our own. John Wesley might even chart their lives in an ordo salutis, or an order of salvation. When we ask, what does it look like to live a life which pursues the heart of God? The women at the cross are an answer. Additionally, the women at the cross show the importance of communal presence. If you recall, Peter followed Jesus at a distance as well on Friday, except he was all alone. And when he was accused of being a disciple, he fled. And it makes me wonder that had he been with some other disciples, had they gone together in community, maybe he would have been less likely to flee the scene and deny knowing Christ. The women came together to support Jesus in ministry. They came together to witness at the cross, and they came together for Sunday morning to go to the tomb. These women model what we hope a community of support would and could look like. And because of that, they are the kinds of anchors and reference points for everyone else. No matter a person's interaction with Jesus then, those women were there. And finally, the women as witnesses at the cross reach into our present time because of their example of strength. As best you can, try to see the women at the cross in your mind. See them standing at a distance, of course, feeling helpless and powerless and disoriented and concussed, having that tortured scene burn into their psyches, but resolving in their hearts that whatever strength is needed, they're going to provide it. It's a moment that's going to change them forever and determine how they act from that point going forward. It was the strength of the women which carried the gospel for 3 critical days between Friday and Sunday. We don't hear about any other disciples from the point of betraying Jesus in the early hours after the rooster crowed to hearing of the empty tomb on Sunday. It was these women and their strength which continued the story. And the example of strength that they showed is still lived out today in our modern context. I've seen it recently in pictures and videos of mothers who hold their children alone on train station platforms when their husband says goodbye to stay behind to fight a war in the Ukraine. They think, what's next? When's this going to be over? Where do I go from here? But standing there, they resolve in their hearts that whatever strength is needed, they're going to find it. It's the kind of strength that doesn't come from practice only, but it comes from believing in a hope that is even just a fraction bigger than their worst pain. And we see it today with a number of you sitting here as well. I know that some of you all have been through hell on earth, and you have modeled the strength of these women at the cross. You have become a reference point for the people around you who have needed to see what strength and endurance look like through some of the hardest moments and points in your life. You bear the image of the women at the cross in you, and you share it with us as a testament of the gospel. Thank you. This is the fifth Sunday in Lent. Next week is Palm Sunday. For the next 6 days, look for these three women and how they appear today. Watch for them in your families and elsewhere. They're the ones who seem just a little bit stronger than most. The ones who rise to the occasion. They're the ones whose presence is steady and unchanging. And they model for us a path toward Christ. They model for us a path to the empty tomb. Let's pray for a moment. God, if you would, please make us sensitive enough, our hearts soft enough, to be able to hear and sense your Spirit, both now and going forward this week as we approach Easter. Help us to see the resolved strength and spirit of the three women who were at your cross, watching from a distance, but deciding that this was important enough to invest their lives in, and it was important enough to stay. Help them guide our way as we go through our week, as we approach our own empty tomb. In your name we pray, amen.